enter in? And he said, yes, but only after you spell a word for me. And she says, well, what word would that be? And he says, any word you want. And so she went, L-O-V-E, love. And he says, very good, you may enter in. He says, but before you do, I have some important business to take care of. Can you stand here and watch the gates for a few minutes, and I'll be right back. And he says, if anybody shows up, they have to spell a word. She said, okay. St. Peter goes away, and all of a sudden the lady looks, and here's a man walking up to her, and it's her husband. And she goes, what are you doing here? And he says, well, honey, I was at the funeral, and I was so distraught over you passing that on the way home I got into a terrible accident and died. He says, are those the pearly gates? And she said, yes. And he says, may I enter in? He says, well, she said, you have to spell a word. He says, well, what word do you have to spell? And she said, Czechoslovakia. So you can take away from that what you would like. I do have a message today that is a very good segue and right in line with what we've heard today. It's going to be a message on love, but I would ask if you would join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and as we look into your word, we want to, first of all and most of all, thank you for Jesus and for what he represents to us as we will see in your word today, that he represents love, and not just a concept of love, but a love that was a verb too, that he acted for us and on our behalf. And we thank you for that, and we want to honor you today, Lord, by studying your word, praising you, and glorifying you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. I have three passages that I would like us to look at here in the context, and then there's going to be a little video, a short video, that kind of brings some of this home. So I'll step aside here and can read these with you as you read along. I actually have them here. In Romans 5:11, we read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. In a paraphrase in that, and that's such a powerful section of scripture, and I'm just going to speak to one aspect of it. We can see that God showed his great love to us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. As many of you know, he didn't wait for us to be perfect. He didn't wait for us to have our acts together. One thing I'd like you to note here, that just, you know, when you read scripture, and there are things that jump out at you and you go, why didn't I ever see that before? In verse 5, we read, and this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Oftentimes when we hear about the Holy Spirit, and it's true, we hear about him convicting us and teaching us and pointing out things in our lives where we need to change. I really liked this when I was reading this and saw this. The Holy Spirit also fills our heart with love. He fills our hearts with love. As an illustration about God not waiting for us to be perfect and dying for us while we were still enemies, we have a dog. many of you have dogs, and many of you are like us. You let your dog to go outside because your dog gets to live on your couch and sleep on your bed. I know that's true because it's true at our house. And so when you let your dog out to do its thing, and then you come back a couple minutes later, the dog is not there if you don't have it on a leash. So you go outside and you call to your dog. And you call, and you call, and you call. And there is no dog. And so then maybe you even get in your car and go looking for the dog. But you spend some amount of time looking for your best friend. And sometimes it's very frustrating because the dog doesn't come back. And let me tell you something that I have done in error, or at least I'm being told that this is error, and I can understand why it is. So finally, you look down the road, and here comes Waggytail running back to you after a long time of calling him and asking him and begging him to come home. And when he comes home, what do many of you do? You scream at him and discipline him and maybe swat him with whatever you have. And now the dog trainers will tell you, think about that. Your dog has just responded to your call and came home to the call, and you discipline him or her. Why would that dog come back the next time that it runs away? They say you should reward that dog for coming home. Even though you've been calling and calling and calling, and the dog didn't come the first time, this was the antithesis of my idea of relieving my frustration when the dog finally came after all that time. Where am I going with that? You know, Jesus called, as Jerry reminded us this morning of Scripture, Jesus is calling you right now. And he's calling. And he's calling. And he's calling. And he gets in his car and goes and looks for you. And he's waiting. And when you come, he doesn't come back at you with a swat or a discipline. He comes back to you with love. And he showed us that on the cross. He didn't wait for us to be good dogs. He died for us while we were running away, while we were in a state of disobedience. It's a powerful concept, even though the illustration I give may not completely communicate that. Next passage. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. This is out of 1 John. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I'll repeat that. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we see in Scripture that Jesus died for us in a perfect form of love while we were still his enemies. And now we see in Scripture that we're told and reminded over and over again that God is love and that he first loved us before we ever came to him. And he gives us a reminder here and actually a command that we are to love one another. Moving on to the next passage, in Luke 6, this is one of the beginning of the Beatitudes, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, but if you are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. So now we're going to even learn some more about love from our Savior. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give what you have to anyone who asks you for it. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do for others as you would like them to do for you. Do you think you deserve credit merely for loving those who love you? Even the sinners do that. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, is that so wonderful? Even sinners do that. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, what good is that? Even the sinners will lend to their own kind for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them. And don't be concerned that they may not repay. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and to those who are wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Jesus died for us while we were still his enemies. God commands us that we are to love one another. And now we see that love is to even be extended to those people we don't like. And we spoke a little bit about that a couple weeks ago. I'm going to play a video or have Marina play a video here, and I'll set it up for you. It's about a man that served for the California Highway Patrol for 20-some years, and one of his primary responsibilities was going out onto the Golden Gate Bridge. That's fine. And talking to people there that wanted to take their lives. It's only about a 5-minute video, but it's pretty powerful, and when it's done, we'll come back with some closing principles here based on that. So, Greg, if you want to get the lights, we'll see this video.
Just somebody in uniform, I believe their sight is just very narrow at that point, and they see the only way out is by jumping over the bridge.
The bridge was completed in 1937, and it began 3 years prior to that. It was the link from San Francisco to all points north. I think it's a symbol of strength, a symbol of power. The bridge is 1.98 miles long. It's 6 lanes wide with 2 10-foot sidewalks. It's always had pedestrians walking on it. Far more people come here for the positive reasons, to experience it, to walk on it, and to touch it and feel it and be a part of its history. We do have people that are despondent that come out here.
I've been on about 22 years before I promoted to sergeant, which was just about 4 years ago. Most of my time was spent patrolling on the Golden Gate Bridge. When I came on the Highway Patrol, and I knew I wanted to come to Marin because I was raised here, I had no idea what transpired down on the bridge.
Years ago, you never mentioned the word suicide for fear that they would all of a sudden think that would be a good option. Well, with all of our training, the first thing we say is, are you out here to hurt yourself? You know, something wrong today.
It's an unfortunate day from the start when you get that call. We received a be on the lookout for an individual, and I started down from the Vista Point area, and when he saw me, he immediately jumped over the rail onto a small platform, an I-beam, that's below that, and he didn't want anything to do with me. So I just started talking to him. He was just having some very difficult times at home, and as we progressed, he started to trust me more. He decided on his own, asked for help, and he didn't come back over. Several weeks later, I received a letter from his mother. He seems to be doing much better now, but he's gotten on the right path. That's what we do with us. That's why we're here.
I don't think that it's reported enough that we save a lot of people out here. Our success for intervening in a suicide attempt is about 80% to 90%.
I have never actually counted a number, but it's been numerous people. Maybe 2 a month when I talk to someone, I try to dig in a little bit and see what's going on. I try to get their name and see if there's family members. Do they have kids? I try to get them to raise their head up. A lot of times they're looking straight down at the water. I like to leave them with dignity. I had an individual once who they called me out from home to come and talk to. I just went down on my knees and said, look, I got nothing. I just didn't come up and talk. He broke down and started crying, came back over, laid in the lane, spread out. But I emphasized to him, you're not under arrest, stand up, you're a man, you're good.
You try to be as positive as you can and instill just a little bit of hope because that's what's missing.
I tend to talk about my life because I've been been through a lot. When I was 21 years old in the Army, I was diagnosed with cancer. And you hear about cancer all the time, but when you get it and somebody comes and tells you that you have cancer, you may not make it, it really sets hard with you. And 20 years later, here I am with Power Patrol. Things are great. I've totally recovered. So I can say, hey, I've been through some of this also. Out of my years, one, I've lost one person that I've spoken with. He was over the rail when I got to him. He never would give his name, wouldn't say why he was out there. I spoke with him for 40 minutes to an hour. He turned around and said, Kevin, I have to go now. My grandmother's down there. He shook my hand, let go, and jumped. They tell us if somebody's going to jump and they do jump, don't look, because that's what you're going to remember and that's what can affect you. But I watched this individual go. I thought I did what I could to prevent this. It's very tragic.
I was on scene with him on one incident where we were out there for over 7 hours. Kevin never quit talking and kept going.
It was a long time. It went well into the night and we were all just freezing. It was just really cold, nasty, foggy night. He did have some kids, and that really set it in motion for him to come back over. He had his hand through the rail coming towards us, so we made a decision to try to grab that hand. Being out there so long, the skin is cold and clammy and wet and slippery, and when we did that, we almost lost him. He did come back over.
We asked him, what was it finally, after all those hours, that he finally decided to come back, and he just says, Kevin wouldn't give up.
I would like to use the story you just watched in a form of an analogy or of an illustration. And when we get the PowerPoint back up there. I would like you to think of the Golden Gate Bridge as life. And what you see going on the bridge is lots of cars going in both directions. You see people walking on both sides of the bridge. Bicyclers are on the bridge. Joggers are on the bridge. People are texting on the bridge. There's boats down in the water. Lots of traffic down there and beautiful views and sceneries and vistas to take a look at. And, of course, there's the occasional person that walks out on the bridge to take their life. These are people that have been convinced that their lives aren't worth living. They may be depressed because they've lost a loved one. They may have lost a job. They may have things going on in their life that have caused them to become depressed. They may be battling with demons. They may have a serious health issue, or maybe marriage issues or money issues, or any number of things that affect you in life. A lot of these people really don't want to jump. It's just they don't know what else to do. They're confused, and they're involved in a battle for their souls. They're right out here in our community. The analogy I want to make to you and I is that the Golden Gate Bridge here is just a microcosm of life. It's a very busy place with lots of people, with lots of emotions, and lots of things going on. But Kevin Briggs here represents you and I. We are the people that God has chosen and has communicated and commanded that we're to share a message of love with people that are lost, to the world that is lost, to the world that needs to know that Jesus has already paid the price for you, that he's calling you, and you don't have to be good and perfect and have your act together to come to him. He's waiting for you to respond to that call. We're commanded to not only share that message of love But we're commanded to be like Kevin here, Kevin Briggs, and that's actually to go out and do something, to go out and get on our hands and knees, as he said in one case, in love to share with these people the message that we read in these scriptures this morning, that Jesus loves you. And that, as Kevin told many of these people, and what a remarkable story, that he's no better than the folks that are out there wanting to jump. And that's a story that we need to communicate to people. But I want to kind of close with this. There are two important things that we must be willing to do in order to pattern our lives after a man like Kevin Briggs in our story here. Number one, we must look for those people that have stepped out over the rail on the bridge. We need to be looking for them. We need to be looking in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces, in the grocery store, wherever we are at. We need to be observant. We need to be paying attention. All of us, we have people out on the rail right now that are in our lives. They want to give up. God can't love me. Who is God? Who is Jesus? I'm not good enough. You don't understand what's going in my life. We need to be looking for these people. The Kairos program is a beautiful example of that. We need to have our eyes open. There's a lot going on the bridge. There's a lot of traffic. There are a lot of people. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of things to catch our attention. Look for people on the rail. Now, I'm making an analogy here that I realize suicide is a powerful, terrible thing. But when people die and they don't know Jesus, that's a powerful, terrible thing too. And your job and my job is to be communicating that to people in words and in our lives. The second thing we must be willing to do is, once we've observed and see these people that are out on the rail, we need to be willing to go out and help them back over. Scripture tells us that we're not only to be hearers of the word, we're to be doers of the word. We're to be taking action in other people's lives. We're to be helping them back up on to the bridge. Just like when Kevin told that guy in the story you just saw here, he says, the guy came over the rail and all he wanted to do was lay down. Kevin said, get up. Jesus died for you. That's our story. Jesus died for you. Get up. Stand up. You're important in his eyes. I want to end with something a little more positive here. Here's one of the people that Kevin spoke to on that bridge. Let me read you a story about this. It's pretty quick. On March 11th, 2005, Kevin Berthia wanted to take his life. This is Kevin Berthia. This is the Kevin and Kevin story. He had climbed over the railing of the Golden Gate Bridge and was prepared to take a fatal jump into the San Francisco Bay when he heard a voice calling out to him from above. It wasn't the voice of a spiritual presence, but rather that of California Highway Patrol officer Kevin Briggs. The two talked for 60 minutes before Kevin Berthia decided to climb back up on the bridge and give life another chance. 8 years later, the pair reunited as part of an emotional ceremony honoring Briggs and other members of the California Highway Patrol whose jobs it was to verbally persuade suicidal men and women from jumping off that bridge. It was phenomenal, Berthia told Yahoo News about the reunion with Briggs at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention public service ceremony. In the 8 years since that first meeting, Berthia has dramatically turned his life around. He resides in the Bay Area, home to the darkest of his memories, but he now has built a life, a new life, for himself. with a successful marriage and two children. He says the time Briggs spent just listening to him formed a connection that helped him put him on a path of mental recovery. There's a passage in Matthew 25 that I'm going to end with here, and I don't have it on the screen. And I almost didn't share it here this morning because I have to admit to you, I don't have a full understanding or interpretation of this passage to share with you. It's a story, it's a parable told by Jesus about three servants. And he gives to each of the three servants, many of you are familiar with this, a different amount of money. And theologians disagree about what that money represents. Some believe that it represents responsibilities. Some believe it represents talents or gifts that we've been given. Others even give it a different interpretation. But as the parable goes, there's a parable of a master, and he gives these three servants the money, and he says, I want you to invest my money or take care of this money, and I'll come back and see what happens. And he comes back, and two of them, as you recall the story, had doubled their money. They had doubled what the master had given them. But one had said, well, he's a wicked master, and I'm afraid of him, so just buried the money. When the master came back, he says, I was afraid of you, and so I just buried your money, and here's all of your money back. I didn't lose any. And as the parable goes, the master says to the third one, he condemns him. And he takes his money and he gives it to one of the other servants. And he says this to that master. He said, he equates his actions as being unfaithful. And he says to that servant, the master does, he said, well, first of all, he said to the other two, that's what I wanted to, the part I wanted to get to, he said to those two servants, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a little, now you will receive more responsibilities. And to the one that hid the money, and he condemned, took the money from him, gave it to one of the other servants, and said, you will now be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth to people that are unfaithful. There's going to be a day where we meet the Lord face to face. And I know I've heard many of you say you would very much like to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I believe and I understand in my limited understanding what part of that or maybe much of that will have to do with how we treated people out on the bridge. Did we look for them? Were we observant in our lives? Did we take the responsibilities, the money that was given here in this parable, if it represents talents, responsibilities, are we using what God has given us? And are we looking for people that need to hear about him? Are we watching the bridge? It's a busy place. Your life is busy. My life is busy. Are our eyes only on what's going on in our life, or are we looking for people out on the rail? They're there. Scripture tells us the fields are white for the harvest, but the workers are few. You and me, this isn't a lecture at you, this is an us-type message, need to be looking for these people. They need to hear that Jesus loves them. Then we have to be willing to go out there on the bridge, go out onto life, be a part of these people's lives, and say, come on back over. Come on back over. Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this love that we have just read about this morning and saw in the life of a man named Kevin. And we pray that it will just penetrate the strongholds in our lives, strongholds being areas where we just don't want to interfere in other people's lives. Who am I to go up to someone and say, Jesus loves you? I don't want to be a nuisance to them. I pray, Father, that you would take down these strongholds. And let us be more bold. Help us to have the desire to go out onto the bridge, to see the people that are there that need help, and to communicate this message of love to them. As you have commanded us, because you loved us, we should share that love with others. We thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.